The NCAA Men's College Basketball Tournament gets into full swing tomorrow. That means those of us filling out a bracket have less than a day left to make those predictions. Some people use their gut reactions to pick winners. Others go by their favorite schools or their mascots. But for those of us wanting to eliminate as much guesswork as we can, maybe some mathematical modeling can be a good place to turn. Laura Albert is an associate professor of industrial and systems engineering at UW-Madison. She also directs the Badger Bracketology Sports Analytics Team. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So how does an engineering professor get into bracketology?
Well, engineering is pretty data-driven these days. My research is no exception. My specialty is operations research and analytics. So in my research, I apply mathematical methods and advanced analytics to solve engineering problems and to make better decisions. Most of my research focuses on public sector problems and emergency response and homeland security. And sports analytics is a fun way to explore different aspects of the things I do every day.
So how do we use some of that mathematics in something like the NCAA championships?
Sure. I started Badger Bracketology a few years to tinker around with sports analytics, learn some new skills on my own, and also have a lot of fun, and it is fun. And it helps me bring sports analytics into the classroom, which is really engaging for a lot of students. I got started with the college football playoff, both ranking the teams and then simulating the rest of the season to forecast who might get into the playoffs. And I also rank the men's NCAA basketball team during the season.
And you use something called Markov chains when you do some of this bracketology. This is not a sports-only kind of math. Explain for a layperson like me what that is.
Sure. A Markov chain is a mathematical model that helps us understand how a system evolves over time. So it's widely used in financial engineering applications, queuing theory, and epidemiology. So it has a lot of actual applications, not just sports analytics. But in this case, we're trying to understand how our system, which is a basketball league or a football league, evolves over time. And that can be used to help rank the sports teams. And what it does is it really helps us focus on the structure, like who plays who, and that structure of matchups over the course of a season. And it takes that into account to endogenously determine things like strength of schedule. And that helps us rank the sports team. So we use data, we use structure, and that helps us understand who might be the best sports team without a lot of data, actually.
So what data are you shoveling into the data burner, if I can use a coal metaphor, to come out with this product, your ultimate predictions and picks?
I use some pretty simple data, and that actually helps me bring it into the classroom for my students who think football is another sport. I actually just look at the games that are played, where they're played, if it's a home game or an away game, and I look at the scores and the score differential.
That's it. That's pretty simple.
It's pretty simple. And it's amazing. It's actually quite beautiful to see the mathematical rankings so closely match those of an expert with so few data points.
Interesting. And now, how successful are these rankings? When you look at head-to-head matchups between two teams you've compared, is this predictive? I know any given Sunday for football, anybody can win any given game. But how successful is this kind of analysis in predicting games?
Sure. I do some prediction for the college football season, looking ahead of time, and it's fairly accurate. I'm able to look a few weeks ahead of time who might get into the college football playoff based on not only the games that they've played, but their path to the playoff, which is the remaining schedule, and that's critically important. If I built a more sophisticated model, I can improve the predictions a little bit more.
But we're probably never going to be at a point where we can run the math at the beginning of the tournament and come up with the perfect bracket. There's a lot of permutations there.
Right. Mathematical models and analytics can help us bound the uncertainty, but it can't tell us exactly what's going to happen ahead of time.
We're talking to Laura Albert, Associate Professor of Industrial and Systems Engineering at UW-Madison. She directs the Badger Bracketology Department, Sports Analytic Team. We're talking about using math to analyze sports and using sports to illuminate concepts in math. And let's talk about that point. You mentioned that this is a fun way to bring students into some interesting and exciting mathematical concepts. Talk about how looking at math through the lens of sports gets those students engaged.
Oh, sure. So I use Markov chains because I think it's the right tool for the job. And I can back up a second from that. Markov chains and that idea is the basis for Google's PageRank algorithm. So it's this amazing idea that changed our world. It's very useful. And sometimes lectures about math models can be a little dry. And so I try to bring the concept of math into the classroom. I've also used Markov chains to analyze volleyball scoring schemes and figuring out how, or predicting how long a game would last using rally scoring or the old school volleyball scoring. And it's really interesting. Students usually don't need to know or even like sports or really know how they played, but they understand wins and losses. They understand rankings. And it's fun. And then they can go home and tinker with the math themselves if they want.
And I imagine that this is kind of a right tool for the right job situation. So by doing this with sports, then students might be able to develop something for a future in engineering or, I don't know, predicting the spread of epidemics, lots of other fields that could use these mathematical concepts.
That's true. In some of my research on emergency response, I study how to optimally route ambulances and fire engines to calls. And you can think about wrapping an optimization around a Markov chain. And that's something that's very practical and makes a real difference in our lives.
All right. I've kept a lot of people waiting here for the big questions. How's Wisconsin looking in this year's bracket?
Well, they have a 5 seed. I think they're looking pretty good. I think that was the right seed this year. It's always challenging to be a 5 seed because they will have to play a 1 seed in the near future. If they win the first couple of games, it can be tough, a tough route. But I think they're looking pretty good in the first round of the tournament.
And is there a favorite to win it all based on your power rankings?
I have Duke ranked number one. I'd say they're the favorite. But usually the favorite has about a 20% chance of winning the tournament if you look at historic data. And the top four teams, there's like a 50% chance one of the top four teams in the tournament will win the tournament. Win the entire tournament, and the other 64 teams split the remaining 50%.
Are there matchups in the first round that tend to have upsets? For some reason, because of how they select the teams, they're just more upset prone.
Sure. The 5-12 and the 7-10 seem to have the most upsets historically.
Huh.
But the teams to keep an eye on are the 6-11 matchup. They've produced a lot of Cinderellas, a disproportionate number of the Cinderellas that have made it into the Final Four, and it's hypothesized that the 6-11 matchup goes the longest in the tournament before playing a 1 or a 2 seed. So that idea of that path to the Final Four is very important, and those teams might have a secret advantage.
And somebody's probably done this, just taken all the historical brackets, not put in the team names, just where they are in the brackets and figure out which the best positions are to be in. Like, base your bracket based on past performance, just of those numbers.
Sure. The 1 seed's a great one. We've seen pretty weak 1 seeds, but again, they might have an easier path to the Final Four. And even if they're seeded off, that the seed itself tells you a little bit about the matchups and who they might play. And that could benefit some teams or be a disadvantage to others.
For people who aren't math majors or engineering majors, what would you say to encourage us to maybe take another look at math, even if we kind of gave up hope on our math careers early on?
I have so many reasons to look at math. I wish people could see all the amazing work that my colleagues and I do, you know, in engineering and all the ways that it can be used to make a difference. I think people are really surprised that we could about all the different types of applications.
We'll leave it there. Laura, thanks so much for coming up to our studio today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Laura Albert, Associate Professor of Industrial and Systems Engineering at UW-Madison and Director of Badger Bracketology. She was with us to talk about using mathematical systems to make our March Madness picks.